Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
Good morning, True North. It is so great to be with you today for Church on the Couch. My name is Kathleen. I'm on staff here at True North, and I'm also part of the teaching team. And I am so excited that starting next week, September 13th, some of you are going to be back in this building to celebrate with us for our True North homecoming. Today, I'm also super honored that I'm closing out our Summer Watchlist series. And I have to tell you, I think I saved the best movie for last. So I want you all to think, what's that one childhood toy that made such an impact on you that you still have it, or your parents still have it in their attic for you? For me, it was my American Girl doll, Kirsten. I was about 7 years old when my Aunt Carol and Uncle Peter got me Kirsten, and she was wrapped in this huge, big, beautiful box. And I opened her up, and there's Kirsten, an immigrant who settles in the Midwest in 1854. She came with a book so I could meet her. And then she came with the Pleasant Company catalog. Blown away, because as I opened up this catalog, before me was Kirsten's entire world. I learned about how she celebrated Christmas and that I could buy the little Christmas dress for her. I could buy the Christmas dress for me. Kirsten and I could totally match. I was so excited. I could buy her little chalkboard so that we could play school together. I dressed up like Kirsten all the time, and I even brought her on the boat with me, probably when I was too old to do that. So imagine my surprise in my 20s as my husband and I are walking down around Rockefeller Center, and all of a sudden I go, ah! And I see in front of me the American Girl store. I couldn't even speak. I just went, we have to go in this store. Freddie, we have to go in this store. And my husband said, well, I guess we're just throwing the whole itinerary away. And we are not going to the museum we were headed to, and we're going to a weird doll store. So we push through the door, and all of a sudden, we are in a world of pure imagination. As the American Girl doll world came to life right in front of me. Now, my beloved Kirsten is a classic doll. So she has a little case where you can see her in her clothes. But now you can design your own doll to have your hair color and your eye color. You can go to lunch with your dolls. They get to sit like right next to you, and you eat your big giant burger, and she eats her teeny tiny little French fries, and then you can take her to the hair salon and you can, you know, get her hair fixed because you messed it up when you were 9. And, you know, if her arm's fallen off, you can take her to the hospital. And it was magical even to me in my 20s and 30s to get to go into this place. For my husband, he had that feeling when he entered Midtown Comics and got to see all these comic book costumes and limited editions. For my niece, Elizabeth, it was when she went to Elmo's house and she got to go to Sesame Place and see where all her favorite characters lived. We all have that world of pure imagination that opens up for us somewhere. And that's taking us to today's movie, which is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I am not talking about that creepy, weird movie with Johnny Depp in the 2000s. I am talking about the beloved classic 1971 Gene Wilder version in which a whole world opens up. If you have not seen Willy Wonka, I am really sorry for your childhood. It's not too late to go watch it. It's streaming someplace. And if you haven't watched it in a while, go watch it again. Because I promise you, it's funnier, it's more bizarre, and it's sweeter than you remember. So I'm gonna guess most of you know what happens, but I'm going to briefly give you a synopsis in case it's been a while since you've watched the movie. In the movie, there's this chocolate factory, the Wonka Chocolate Factory. It's secretive, nobody's been in there, no one knows how it runs. And Willy Wonka, the owner, creates a contest where he has slipped 5 golden tickets into candy wrappers all over the world. And there's this contest. If you find a golden ticket, you get a tour of the factory and a lifetime supply of chocolate. Well, this becomes an international obsession. People are tearing through Wonka candy to find these golden tickets. And the last person to find a golden ticket is little Charlie Bucket. And his family really doesn't have a lot of money. He has all 4 of his grandparents living with him and sleeping in one bed. And his mom supports the family, and so does Charlie with his meager earnings that he gets with his paper route. So Charlie decides, when he wins this golden ticket, to bring Grandpa Joe. Sidebar, Grandpa Joe, who's been in bed for 20 years, jumps up, starts to dance, and joins Charlie. I am really annoyed that he didn't just go to work and help his family, but that's another sermon. So Charlie Bucket and Grandpa Joe head to the Wonka Chocolate Factory for their tour with 5 other kids and their parents. And they're greeted by Willy Wonka, an eccentric, interesting man who tours them through the factory. And one of the first rooms they enter is the world of pure imagination. And before these families lies a world that Wonka created. And it's created for them to partake in everything they see. They're told, go ahead, eat the grass. It's sweetness. You could grab a daffodil that's growing and it's in a teacup and you can sip the sweet nectar and even take a bite out of the saucer. They could enjoy all that Wonka created, except for one thing. Don't touch the chocolate river. Don't go there. We've all heard this before, right? This sounds really familiar, and it should, because in the Bible, in the very first book, the book of Genesis, we get to read the story of creation when God made the world and made everything in it, and it was good. And he created Adam and Eve, the first 2 people. And they were very good. And God told them, enjoy this world I created. Partake of it. You get to enjoy the plants as your food and this land as the place where you can live. But God issued one rule. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do it. That's it. He sets up this boundary for Adam and Eve. But just like us, Adam and Eve thought, well, I know better than God. So I think I'm going to check out this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve, in that moment, wound their perfect world. They were people who the scriptures say walked alongside with God. They talked to God directly, but that was not enough for them. And instead, Adam and Eve went around God's loving boundary to see if they knew better. And sadly, the consequences of that decision affect us still today with the problems of sin and death in our world. Just as Adam and Eve disobeyed God, so did every kid in Willy Wonka. They either wanted something out of greed, they wanted to have fame, some of them didn't have self-control. If you don't know who you are in this movie, you can probably figure it out. Some would say I was very well cast in my eighth grade production of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because I was cast as Veruca Salt. And there's this lovely photo of me. Clearly, our school's budget could only afford for Willy Wonka's custom costume. Mine was, you know, vintage in my own clothes. And I still struggle with instant gratification every day. And sometimes I say to God, but I want it now. And so it's still something I struggle with. And each of those characters exemplifies something that we deal with. I want to take a look at Psalm 16. It's written by King David. King David knew a thing or two about God's boundaries, and he also knew that if you step outside of them or around them, it doesn't always go well. So this is Psalm 16, verses 5 through 9. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. Other versions of that say for verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. God's boundaries are there out of love. They're there to protect us, to keep us safe from the consequences of sin. So how do we respect God's boundaries? Because it isn't always easy. We're tempted every day. And what we are called to do is see the goodness of the boundaries that God's put in place for us. You know, I think back to that American Girl catalog that as I turned every page and learned more and more about the accessories and the clothing and all the items I could buy to bring my doll's world to life. That's what our Bible is for us. Every page is filled with stories of broken people, of people who have had to go through pain. But then we learn we have this inheritance. As Christians, we believe that heaven's a real place, and that's our inheritance. And just like that catalog gave us a glimpse of what the American Girl store was like, the words in these pages are a glimpse of what awaits us in God's world of pure imagination. By opening our Bible, by seeking God's truth, we can get a glimpse of what awaits us when we pay attention and are mindful of God's boundaries. And God knew that Adam and Eve would mess up. He knew that we would mess up. So where's the good news in all of that? You and I have a golden ticket. It is worth so much more than a lifetime supply of chocolate. Our golden ticket is the gift of our faith from Jesus Christ. Jesus is our golden ticket, where we get to spend a life in eternity. Now, like I said, every kid did something wrong. Every time Wonka took the children and their families into another room, there'd be something they would be tempted by. And every time, Willy Wonka would say, "I wouldn't do that if I were you. Don't touch that. Don't go over there." And every time those kids did that, even Charlie Bucket, who we love throughout the whole movie, he and Grandpa Joe go in secret so they don't think anyone knows and drink the fizzy drink and violate Wonka's rules. Every child is also tempted to get the recipe for the everlasting gobstopper. And this motivated each kid. They were told to try to steal this from Wonka's factory. So we're going to look at a clip. It's towards the end of the movie, so if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, you're finding out the whole movie right here. But you're going to see what happens when Charlie Bucket is confronted with the truth.
Mr. Wonka?
I am extraordinarily busy, sir.
I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. When does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong! Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis, incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You're a crook. You're a cheat and a swindler. That's what you are. How can you do a thing like this? Build up a little boy's hopes and then smash all his dreams to pieces. You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
Come on, Charlie. Let's get out of here.
I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I ever do.
Slugworth wants a gobstopper. He'll get one.
Mr. Wonka?
So shines a good deed in a weary world.
Charlie!
My boy.
You've won! You did it! You did it! I knew you would! I just knew you would! Oh, Charlie, forgive me for putting you through this.
Phew! Fortunately, God deals a little bit more gently with you and I when we're confronted with our sin. But Charlie Bucket is confronted with his sin and did something different from every other child who did something wrong in the movie. Charlie didn't defend himself. Charlie didn't deny it. Charlie turned around and he walked over to the desk and he put that everlasting gobstopper right back on the desk. He made a choice there, and he turned back. We have choices too, to turn back, to seek forgiveness, because God is right there to welcome us in a loving, warm embrace. So, throughout these past few months of craziness, I still met with my community group, and we did a Bible study, and one of the questions was, what is a secret sin you need to confess? I was the group leader, and I said, no one has to answer this question. That's extremely personal. And someone shared something, and I thought, oh, I have something, and now I have to actually do something about this. So what I did, and I shared it with these women, and I was crying. And those of you who know me know, I don't cry. When I was in high school and college, I stole money from my parents. Not $5, not $10, probably a few hundred dollars. I would just, you know, slip a few 20s every few weeks. I never told them. And I guess it had still really weighed on me 15 years later. And I was really embarrassed about it and really hurt because my parents gave me everything. And that wasn't enough. And I still wanted more so that I could go try to satisfy my need for instant gratification. So I stole from them to try to make my life better. So I called my parents at 9:30 at night, and my dad picked up the phone and I said, "It's really important, but everyone is safe. I'm not pregnant. I need to talk to you and mom right now." And of course, my mom was indisposed at the moment, so I'm sitting there trying not to cry. And they both get on the phone, and I tell them, through sobs, "I have to tell you, I stole a significant amount of money from you when I was growing up. And I spent it all on myself. And I'm just so sorry." And I prepared to be screamed at and yelled at. And my father's words to me, and this is exactly what he said, "Well, you just spent your inheritance early." And then my mother said, "I don't even know what you're talking about." And then my father said, "We love you." And then the next day at 9 a.m, I got a call from my parents. "We want you to know, we love you." That's what God does in our lives, when we turn to him and say, "I did this. Nobody knows about it. God knows about it. But nobody on this earth knows about it. And I need to come clean to you." And Jesus' grace and forgiveness is what covers us. A couple months later, I get a card in the mail from my parents. And I was really concerned because it came in an envelope with holly on it and a Christmas stamp. And I opened it and it's a Christmas card. And I thought, this is not good because we're in the middle of COVID and Shady Pines is closed and not accepting new patients. So my parents cannot go crazy right now. But it was the following. And this was about 1 month after the call with my parents. "Dear Kathleen and Freddie, sometimes when we're happy, we are moved to cry. To make you that happy, we would like to try. So, hoping this gift might bring a tear to your eye, we wish you a very joyous Christmas in July. Love, Mom and Dad." And in addition to the note was a significant check. I had told my parents I stole money from them, and yet they lavished me with grace in a gift I never deserved. That's what God does for us. And faith, God changes our identity from sinner to saint. And I want to take a look at where we see that in Scripture. And we see it in Colossians chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news." That's the good news. God created this world of pure imagination for Adam and Eve to enjoy. They skirted his boundaries. And so all of creation, you and me, are tainted by faults, by disobedience, by stealing, by whatever wrongs we've done. But we have a beautiful inheritance in the gift of faith that Jesus gives us. Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled to our loving Father, who is waiting to warmly embrace us so we can once again enjoy that world of pure imagination right there alongside him. Well, so much time, so little to do. Scratch that. Reverse it. Will you pray with me? Father God, we know that we need you, and we are so grateful for the gift of faith that you've provided for us through Jesus. Lord, I pray for each person who's going through something that they need to unburden themselves with, that they can go to you, our loving Father, with assurance of forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, for each person tuning in today and the joy you have given them. And I ask that you continue to bless them with that and your peace going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.